Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend Judith Quoba. Judith is going to bring us up to date with what's been going on in the German parliamentary elections, Nepal, a whole variety of issues. So, without any further ado, Judith, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hello, James. Very happy to be here and thank you for having me.
Likewise, a pleasure is ours. Well, provide us the background of the elections, and then also tragically, horribly, a number of the people running for the party that I would vote for over there if I lived over there have been assassinated, right? So this is very serious stuff, and it just shows you the mentality of the Bolsheviks over there. This is the Bolshevik Red Terror we're seeing all over again. So, you have the floor. Please, first of all, give us a background of the AfD political party for those that are not familiar.
AfD is a party that was founded when the switch from the German Deutschmark was to the euro. And the AfD was completely against it, and that was the reason why they founded this party. When Angela Merkel opened the borders in Europe and flooded Europe with migrants, the AfD from day one said this will be a disaster, and it is a disaster. Right now in Germany, on average, we have 70 to 80 knife attacks, some of them fatal attacks. We have two to three group rapings, and a lot of those people, when they are in front of the court, either they get probation or they walk free. On the other hand, if you share a meme that is insulting to a politician, you get swatted. And then you get you have to pay a lot of money, or sometimes they even okay, might be probation as well, but anyhow, meaning those things are they prosecute that much harsher than attacks on life, property, and what have you. So that is the general overview. And of course, here in Germany, it works very well with the population. Mainstream media and the other parties, they have smeared the AfD as right-wing radicals. And in Germany, that means that people have the impression, oh, if we vote for them, they will probably build concentration camps and what have you. So the German guilt trip that has been instilled for many, many decades, especially in the education system, that works very, very well. Nevertheless, we had yesterday the election here in, as you would say, North Rhine-Westphalia, and the AfD tripled their results from last time. These were elections about mayors and so forth, So there is a shift happening, but it is too slow and it is too little. Especially not only the problem with the migration crisis, which is, the social security system is at the verge of collapse. And we have a lot of people that came here from other countries that never worked a day in their life. They have no intention to work. I mean, there are also those, yes, that built their life here, that have jobs, and they really try to integrate. That is true, but it is not the majority. Plus, we have a very disastrous energy policy, meaning we have switched off all our nuclear plants. And because for a long time the Greens were very, very popular here in Germany, they thought that you actually can run a country with solar power and windmills, which is not true because it is depending on the weather. And here in Germany, especially in autumn and winter, we have days where there is no wind and hardly any sun, which means if France wouldn't send us their nuclear power, we would be in a big trouble. And now the Bundesnetzagentur, horrible word, those are the guys that are in charge of keeping the grid stable. Yeah. And they came out and said, people should expect rolling brownouts during autumn and winter this season. And of course, it is also fatal, this type of politics, for the industry. We have lost more than 160,000 jobs in the last couple of years. Industries are shutting down here. They go to other places. Some go to China, some to the US. And they, or some they go to Poland or the Czech Republic, and they produce there. Which means the strain on the social security system is even worse because people are losing their jobs left, right, and center. And our current government is not willing to, save spending, cut spending. That is what I mean. Yeah, and that is the climate here, the general and political climate in Germany. And before the elections happened here in North Rhine-Westphalia, seven AfD members died. So I wrote down the numbers. So the first one was Wolfgang Seitz, 59 years old. He had a heart attack. That was on 16th of August. And when I say heart attack, that is the official explanation. Yeah. So then we had Wolfgang Klinger, 71, 19th of August. It just says natural causes. Then we had Stefan Berendez, 59, on 27th of August. Sudden cardiac arrest, natural causes, kept secret for privacy reasons. I don't know if that was the family or whatever, but that is what the official explanation says. Then Ralph Klaus Norbert Kanze, 66. 28th of August, presumed heart attack. Then we had René Herford, a reserve candidate. He died on 1st of September, kidney disease. Then we had Patrick Tietze, 42, also a reserve candidate, allegedly suicide. Then we had Hans-Joachim Kind, died early September, no evidence of foul play, police says. So, and this is, of course, a little bit improbable. Yeah, because it is defined in a very specific locality. And the group gets even smaller because they are all candidates from one party. And that means, in general, people, I would say, people that really have difficult health issues. I don't think anybody would run for office. Do you?
Oh, it seems to be an unhealthy activity.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very stressful job. Yeah. And if you really have so much problems with your health, I don't think anybody would really run for office because you cannot manage that. So then we have, so we had two waves of these deaths, and somebody fed all the numbers into an AI system, and what came out? That the probability of these seven candidates for the AfD dying before the election, that was 1 in 1.44 billion. So, which means in any normal country, the prosecution would investigate, but not in Germany. And we saw it from the left. We have here one party that is called Die Linke, which means the left. That is the party from the German Democratic Republic. Those that shot down the people who wanted to flee the German Democratic Republic, those people, the heirs of that party, are also sitting in the German Bundestag, and one of their members, when it was made public that all these AfD members were dead, he posted something on X. Well, that's another way to go, because all of them, CDU, SPD, Linke, the Greens, everybody is working on banning AfD once and for all, because they know their time is running out. They do not have the answers that the country desperately needs. But here in Germany yesterday, CDU won again, and SPD also lost very little. And my suspicion is that for a huge chunk of the German population, they are still living too good. It has not reached the point where it's really biting, and they cannot foresee what is coming. Maybe if the first rolling brownouts will start this this autumn and winter, maybe that will change. Maybe then they will finally wake up to the fact what all these crazy policies are doing. But we will see how that goes.
The way Germany looks now, it's the way that was envisioned with the Morgenthau Plan after World War II. They wanted to reduce Germany to a pastoral country, purely agricultural. What industry remained would service the needs of France and the rest of Europe. And of course, the major powers had taken away so much of the industry, the Soviets especially, hauling all these factories and industries to the east, along with a lot of slave labor. And then on top of that, you have this immigrant invasion. Because of the collective guilt that was foisted upon the Germans after World War II, they're more worried about being labeled a Nazi than surviving. Because what's going on over there, to me, seems to be the genocide of the German people. And it, to me, it's just heartbreaking and it's sickening because I've always been something of a Germanophile. I've admired the race, I've read about their history, and to see what's going on. And of course, once again, it's these communists, these Bolsheviks. And what they've did with these assassinations, it just shows you just not that you needed any more proof, but well, the rest of the world, what exactly is going on over there? Just how evil those people are.
And we have here a publication company, you know, that print books, and it's called Suhrkamp. And one of the authors that is working for this publishing company, he actually, you know, after the Charlie Kirk assassination, he actually now openly called for the assassination of Elon Musk. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Elon Musk. Don't get me wrong, but that is so tasteless. That is so inhumane. I don't even have words for that. I mean, what is going on in these heads?
The very ideology itself, Karl Marx, in all likelihood, was a Satanist. And the ideology itself, what it does is it empowers all these malcontents, these people mad at the world, mad at themselves, losers, right? And then they're empowered by the system so they can weaponize their being a malcontent and then use that to just eliminate everybody. See, what the communists do is they have no qualms assassinating judges, journalists, doctors, human rights activists. Everyone else is like wringing their hands and, oh, what are we going to do? It's so terrible. But the communists take action. And that's been the problem. Hopefully, what we've seen in the recent past, proper pushback against all this Bolshevik red terror. But unless something were to happen of a drastic nature, I'm sorry to say, and I hate to say this because I consider you a dear friend, I think Germany is lost. It's just so sad.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I'm so happy that I'm not in my 20s. Because there is zero sign that anybody in the, you know, let's say legacy politicians, are going to make any effort to turn the country around. Zero sign. And which means the social security system will collapse. We have another dramatic problem with France. France is at the verge of a fiscal collapse. What that might mean for the entire Eurozone is a whole different story. But we are done. But people don't see it yet, and they still think the main problem is nobody should look at me and say he's a right winger or he's a Nazi or he's whatever. I mean, Nazi has become a synonym for common sense.
It's the wordplay games that the Bolsheviks, communists do. They change the meanings of words. And I mentioned earlier the Morgenthau Plan, and what you've been talking about also, it reminds me of the state of Weimar Germany with the collapsing marks, the currency, the superinflation, which it's headed in that direction. So it's going to bring about a scenario where all these Islamic and sub-Saharan invaders will be even more empowered because there's nothing in the stores anymore. There's no more food. There's no more produce. So they're going to resort to what they always do, which is looting. So even more than normal. So this means that anyone of Caucasian ethnicity over there is, they've got a target on their back, the way it is.
Definitely. I know when the Ukraine war started, there was and then Germany refused to take gas from Russia, and on and on, and so they bought it for the triple of the price from USA, Qatar, in liquid form. And during that time, there were some newspapers that said, yeah, okay, if push comes to shove and we have a blackout during winter, fire stations will offer some place where you can, warm up and sit there for a little while. And then I saw the comments and somebody said, yeah, well, and then somebody will knock out the 80-year-old grandma so that he can be the first to be in. I definitely think that that will be the case, because this particular group of people is not very disciplined at all, and they don't give a shit in general whom they kill. We had one, I think he was from Afghanistan or Syria, or one of those places, and he was in court for rape, and he actually said in front of the court, why is everybody so upset? It was just a woman. Yeah, so you bring in all these cultures, they have their mindset, yeah, and then you bring them here and that it doesn't work, that it cannot gel, absolutely not. And we are more or less, and now they are banning pepper spray. Yeah, so they don't even want you to be able to defend yourself in any meaningful way. I mean, yeah, with pepper spray, a lot can go wrong, if the wind is not in the direction where you are spraying, it can hit yourself. But anyway, what my conclusion is that we are being governed by people who hate Germany and the Germans. That is my conclusion. And that is not a very nice thing to say or to think about, but I have no other explanation.
I would agree. Germany, for so long, was the only industrialized state to stand up to Bolshevism. I mean, it's a historical fact. We now know it's true. Even Russian historians admit that Stalin was poised to invade Europe, but Hitler did it first, right? So it's the destruction of European heritage, European history. Another thing it reminds me of also is the, you're talking about the grid going down or rolling brownouts during the winter. At least in the old days, with the Luftbrücke, the Berlin airlift, they were able to fly in coal to keep the people warm. They're not even going to be able to do that anymore because they've destroyed the Nord Stream. And then when especially these Islamists and these sub-Saharans, when they get cold and then there's like no heating, they're going to start burning things up. They're going to start arsonizing everything. They're already burning up churches, what have you. So when they get cold, and they're not from, of course, obviously, they're not from the northern climes of Europe. They're from a much warmer place. So when it comes to it, they're going to start burning the whole place. And we already saw that before in France in the past and throughout Europe, wherever these Islamists are, that's what they're doing now is systematically burning down these churches and cathedrals that have been there for centuries in some cases. This is the Coudenhove-Kalergi agenda, the destruction of the white race in spades.
Yeah, definitely it is. And then on top of it, if you have rolling brownouts, it also can go very wrong. If you try to restart, it can go wrong. And now I imagine, let's say entire Germany blackout for 2 weeks. And you know how many people here in Germany are prepared for that? Less than 10%. Can you imagine what would go down here? No supermarket working. No fuel station is working. Your mobile phones. They have the towers have electricity for 45 minutes, roughly. Then some hospitals have only backup for a couple of hours. Some hospitals have backup for 2 to 3 days. Then the for the elderly, the nursery homes. They have no backup. Imagine what that will mean. And then you have only not even 10% that are prepared for such a scenario. Because depending on where you live, after 12 to 24 hours, there's also no water coming out of the faucet anymore. So, and then hardly anybody has reserves, in terms of water, food, no camping cooker, no alternative heating system, nothing. And then many might think, well, I have a solar on my roof. Most of them, they cannot operate detached from the general grid, which means you will have no power as well. It will be total chaos. And that is, I honestly do not hope that will happen. Because I know how much, even the 12-hour blackout in Spain that we saw earlier this year, even that had a couple of deaths. I forgot the real number, but even that death. And then don't forget all the people that are stuck in an elevator. They have made the they have made the calculation. In a city like Berlin, the firefighters would be busy for a week, yeah, to get all the people out of the elevators. And you know how it is. After an hour, 2 hours, you know, the light in the elevator goes out, and then you're sitting there. And chances are, after a week, if you are one of the last one, you will not even survive that. People have no idea, for the most part, how horrible that would be. They think, yeah, well, okay, I use a candle. Yeah, do you have candles? And then the next thing is, even let's say it's only a week. And then the power
Only a
comes
week.
back. Then what?
I said
Yeah.
only a week, my goodness.
Yeah. Let's say that happens. But that does not mean the next day you can go shopping. No, because the supermarkets will be looted. Many of them will have no windows. That means they have to repair their shops. And then you do not have that many people who can set in new glass. Yeah. So that means you have to add weeks and weeks on top of it. You have to rebuild the supply lines. That the power is back is all good and fine, but it doesn't mean everything is back to normal.
Towards a famine scenario, especially when you look back in the recent past with what Holland and a bunch of other countries have done over there, this mad rush to net zero and sustainability, so-called, where they're shutting everything down, they're shutting the farmers down, they're making it impossible for farmers and ranchers to operate. So it's going to be a blackout scenario, which means these Islamic invaders will go even more crazy, right? Woe to anyone who's outside when that happens, right? And then when there's no food, no electricity, no water, at some point, cannibalism will break out. I hate to say it, but I'm just looking at it from a historical perspective. And a lot of those people that are Islamic invaders and from sub-Saharan Africa, cannibalism is pretty much the norm in their society. When people get hungry, what do they do? When there's no other food to eat, they eat each other, right? So I think in the big cities, when the famine really hits, this is throughout the world, not just in Germany, but I feel that Germany is being made an example for so long because it was the center of Christendom for so long. It was a center of enlightenment, of knowledge, and great universities, Göttingen and what have you. Physicists and scientists from all over the world trained there. But what they did, because of its central location in Germany, in Europe rather, they created all these wars over and over, the 30 Years' War, this war, that war, World War I. With the express purpose of just utterly destroying Central Europe and Germany in particular. In order to have a healthy Europe, we need a healthy Germany. And that's the country that's been hit the hardest out of all of them. They do it with relish because they just hate the Germans so much. And it saddens me, yeah, that so many people are more worried about being called Nazis than surviving and fighting for their country.
As I said, most of these problems are self-made. The CDU, the allegedly, one of these fake conservative parties, what they are doing now is they govern like the Greens. I have not lost hope here. I'm pretty sure we will go down the drain. It will be hard, it will be ugly. But I think even then, there will be people after that that think, yeah, we haven't done enough with so-called renewable energies.
Or diversity, or whatever their other buzzwords of the day are, despite you have to, it could only work by putting in these soulless, evil people as front men and front women of these political parties there to just deliberately turn a blind eye to the mayhem and the mass murder, the mass rape, and be able to look at a TV camera and act of everything, act as if everything is normal. And then, oh, look at the AFD, those far right Nazis, right? Because they want things like safe streets, and it's a complete inversion of sanity.
But that brainwashing that we have to accept everything and anything, and don't you dare to point out problems, with other cultures. That has been so drummed into us. And for the majority of the people, it works. I remember when I went to school, I had to do the entire Nazi time, with the Holocaust and everything connected with it. I had to do that 3 times. 3 times, but even then, I always said it has nothing to do with me. I wasn't alive then. I cannot be responsible for what my grandparents did. Nobody can, I mean, there are families, who have an uncle, an aunt, or whatever is a somebody very crazed and a hardcore criminal. That doesn't mean that the rest of the family are, disgusting people. To them, it's probably very, very hard to have somebody like that in their family, and they are not responsible for that. That is that person's choice. And that is where it should stay. I never accepted this, guilt that I have to carry because something awful happened here when I was not alive.
Not only that, though, but when you look at what happened to the German people during and in the 5 years, just 5 years after World War II, upwards of 12 million Germans at least, as high estimates, or were just killed, and a mass migration from Eastern Europe of ethnic Germans. It was the largest forced mass migration. Well, I guess all these immigrants coming in from everywhere is the largest of all time. But back then in Europe, it was the largest up to that point of a forced migration of people. The Germans had already suffered horrific, horrific genocide and abuse for a long time, even before all this.
And what Eisenhower did on the Rhine-Wiesen.
Rhine-Main death camps, where he deliberately, his policies and his orders led to the murder of millions of German prisoners of war.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just at Wiese is the word for meadow. And there were not even barracks. There nothing, not a wooden shed or anything where you could find shelter. You were just sitting there in the meadow. You hardly didn't get any food. You didn't get any water. They just pushed them all in there with their barbed wires around it, and the guards. And then they died there. End of story. That was Eisenhower. Yeah, wonderful man.
Well, Eisenhower also put forth an order that any German citizen caught giving food to the prisoners of war would be executed.
Yeah.
Right? So Eisenhower, as far as the Germans were concerned, his treatment of the Germans, he was a psychopath. There's no other way to describe it.
Exactly.
So the Germans are not, I wouldn't say they're not immune to this. No one's immune to this kind of treatment, but it's been happening for so long to the Germans. And where is the moral right anymore to do all this? Because if you were to add up all the Germans since World War II that have died, all the people throughout the world that have died as a result of this communist expansionism throughout the world, that far exceeds, the losses of this, that, or the other country in World War II, or people in World War II. There's been millions and millions and millions of people since World War II that have been killed because of this global control system. And then now they're openly doing it, and then they can still point at people and call them Nazis. That's how crazy it is.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure how long it will, but you know, even the auto industry is completely trashed here. And that has to do with you can no longer everybody has to drive an electric car, and on it goes. Yeah, they are killing the substance now. You know, under Merkel, it was not that visible. It started there, the economic decline. And that was the time when Germany, lived on its substance that it had. But since then, horrible roads, infrastructure, don't get me started. Yeah. Deutsche Bahn. Yeah, the train. Yeah, if it comes at all, it is never on time, and on it goes. So, but now we are at a point we can no longer live on the substance that we have built over decades. Now they are actively destroying the substance.
Well, those of us who are old enough, I had the good fortune a couple of years after the wall went down to cross over into what used to be, like the East, right? Berlin and what have you. And I went to the eastern part of Berlin. And everything was still, you can see how much the rot and decay had set in. What cars you saw were the tiny little Trabis. The people had to get on a waiting list for years to get one of those things, right? Shortages of food, shortages of basic things. But because the way the communism works and it's spread out, the Fabian socialist aspect of that, it's become the norm now in the West, with just a high inflation, high prices, shortage of goods, the state shutting down all this agriculture. They're definitely setting up a scenario for famine. And in the time we got in this first segment, I'd like your thoughts also, because what goes on in Ukraine, Poland, what have you, is not too far removed from Germany, because it's, everything is relatively close over there. What are your thoughts about the latest development? I mean, Poland, which had for some time now been used by American military advisors to launch weapon systems at the Russians, et cetera, now they're complaining about Russian drones. I mean, who cares really, about that, considering what they've already done to the Russians? But what are your thoughts about them mobilizing their forces and doing maneuvers and training large groups of military personnel along the frontiers, right? What are your thoughts about all that?
What I see coming down the pipe is that, especially what is called the EU Commission and the left-wing governments here in Europe, they want war with Russia in the long run. That is what it boils down to. And, but you know, yeah, you can want a lot of things, but actually, if you do not even have enough electricity, yeah, to guarantee a functioning grid all over the country at any point in time, why do you even plan a war? They are so insane. None of it makes any sense. They want heating to be electric, yeah, with heat pumps and stuff like, and you do not have the electricity. Yeah, everybody to drive electric cars, you do not have the electricity. So with that, I'm a little bit amused. I know that is their plan, but I think in the long run, if they do not turn around in terms of energy policies and economic policies, there will be no war with Russia because you have no electricity.
It's like they're playing in this weird fantasy kind of cloud cuckoo land where they can think they can just make things up, right? Like the notion that a destroyed, fragmented country like Germany could actually take on the Russian bear, right? And then Poland also. Poland is one of the few countries they boast about it. Well, we don't have an immigration problem. We're keeping them out. Well, that's all well and good. That's good for your citizens. But then you want to poke, the Russians in the eye, which doesn't make any sense either, right? So you're right, because say what they want about Russia under Putin, but Russia is a Christian Slavic country, which is proud of its heritage, it's proud of its ethnicity, it's proud of its history. And the Bolsheviks, which control Europe now, they have a psychopathic hatred towards Christianity, which is one of the reasons why they brought in so many of these, sub-Saharans and so many of these Islamists, so they can go around attacking Christians and burning down churches, right? But Russia is the one thing that they haven't been able to get rid of, because they really can't, short of a nuclear war, right? So they're frustrated as far as that goes. And I think you're right. They're going to do something, some kind of stunt, because Ukraine is finished. Right? That much is clear, as a fighting force. So who's left? Well, it's Poland, it's Germany.
Yeah, and Germany actually is canceling itself out. So, on that front, I have to say, I am somewhat relaxed, yeah, not very relaxed, but a little bit, because if you really want to prepare for a war against Russia, you need a completely different energy and economic policy, and you're not willing to do it, so forget about your fucking war.
That's right. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's like almost like they want Germany to be destroyed under a hailstorm of missiles and ordnance and even nuclear weapons. That's how insane these Bolsheviks are. They're just such nihilists. They just want chaos and mayhem. It's very much a supernatural, spiritual war. And when you just look at all the loosh generated from all the victims of crime in Germany, just Germany alone, and all the loosh generated by those demon-infested invaders, presided over by the Bolshevik courts and judiciary over there. It's a witch's brew. I'm sorry that, well, again, I can't help but feel so bad about what's going on in Germany. I'm such, I've been such an
Yeah, the
admirer
demons
of the
are out.
history. What's
The
that?
demons are out in the open.
Oh, they're out in the open. Well, we've seen that in the recent past in America. At least there's some degree of pushback in the rest of Europe, right? Well, not the rest of Europe, I would say. America, there's been a resurgence in the recent past. Enough is enough already, and many people are thinking. And also in the UK, I was quite pleased to see all those people coming out and marching, right? They still outnumber the invaders. They still outnumber the Bolshevik government over there. And that's what they need to remember.
Yeah. And for all those people, I'm not a fan of Putin, but I know one thing. If Putin is gone for whatever reason, there are much more hardcore people in the wings. Yeah. There has been a lot of aggression and things where Russia could have reacted very differently towards the West in general. And if he is somebody who shows some restraint, yeah, going down that road. But there are many people waiting to take over, and they have a completely different stance on how to deal with the West. So I would say be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might
Yeah.
demonize him now, but there are other people that will outdo him tenfold.
Yes. I think I give him credit for his restrained approach. He was mindful of keeping down his casualties. A lot of people were critical of him because the war in Ukraine has dragged on so long, but he knew that he was going to win. He had the upper hand. He had all the armaments and the ordnance and the manpower. So, why throw away the lives of the soldiers if he didn't have to, right? Let the technology do a lot of the killing for him. So, well, thank you for sharing that. Well, we've reached the end of the first segment. Can you tell our viewers and listeners how they can find you, Judith?
On YouTube, my handle is Nightflight, all in one word, and also on my Patreon side, where I also do like weekly videos addressing issues of the week, the day, or I also share a lot about other countries, what is going on there, Africa, Asia, what have you.
And we're going to dip into some of that in the next segment. And to your viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.